secure a military victory for Mohammed bin Salman. Because of course, the Yemenis are the ones who are defending their cause, fighting their aggressors. Yemenis are known to be fierce when they fight. Historically, there are many invaders who tried to invade Yemen and failed miserably. Great imperial powers tried to invade and occupy Yemen but failed. Therefore, Saudi Arabia is added today to the list of countries defeated in Yemen who failed in invading and occupying Yemen. The arrogant personality of the Saudi crown prince who refused to surrender to the fait accompli is what led to the prolongation of the life of this aggression against Yemen. I believe that as long as there is a mentality in Riyadh that does not accept the fait accompli, this aggression will continue not only for 7 years, but for 8 to 10 years and maybe more. All developments indicate that Saudi Arabia's last stronghold in Yemen, which is Ma'rib, have practically fell under Yemeni fire.
Paradoxically to what you just said, Mr. Ali, we did see the pro-Saudi media reporting daily about progress and repelling ground advancements of the Yemeni resistance, especially in Ma'rib, which you just said that it has fallen, and about killing tens of hundreds of members of the Yemeni armed forces. But the facts on the ground, as you just said, and the path of the military progress there suggests that all of this actually is not happening. It's not the truth. How long do you think this situation could continue, knowing that Saudi Arabia itself is not in a position financially that could help it to continue the way it is right now?
Just to point out what the Saudi media broadcasts and the media of aggression funded by Saudi Arabia. It's clear that when there are victories for Sana'a on the battlefronts, there's a discourse that claims and publishes false news about killing thousands and targeting operations rooms and destroying control rooms. But all this turns out to be an attempt to moral compensation for the military defeat on the ground. For days, there has been information and news published by the Saudi media, which says that there are hundreds of deaths among the ranks of Ansarullah and the Yemeni army affiliated with Sana'a. But on the other side, there is ground information indicating that the announcement of control of Ma'rib is imminent and that a battle has been opened towards the Safir oil facility located to the east of Ma'rib. These facilities are crucial and Sana'a must reach them in order to secure the energy needed to generate electricity and thus run the industrial and agricultural production cycle. Thus, dropping the siege of fuel ships coming from the sea that are used as a weapon of war by the Saudi coalition. In practice, Saudi Arabia is losing, and therefore, it's trying to compensate by spreading false allegations. But for the sake of time, how long can Saudi Arabia continue in this approach and bury its head in the sand like an ostrich and claim that things are fine for it? With the passage of time, all the lies will be exposed. I mean, lying about such issues has a narrow scope. The truth soon became apparent, and the whole world now knows that Saudi Arabia was defeated in Yemen.
But Mr. Ali, yes, they have lost. Their media is lying, and at the same time, Riyadh is seeking to conclude more larger numbers of arms deals in an attempt to achieve technical and armament superiority, despite the fact that it's there, but it's not being maybe used in the right direction. But for example, for the Americans, Saudi Arabia is spending 74% of its military budget, for Britain 12%, for France 4% of that budget, and all that money could literally have built Saudi Arabia and Yemen and probably other countries in the Arabian Peninsula. Why is Mohammed bin Salman finding it so hard to acknowledge the power and capabilities of the Yemeni forces and just stop and start a dialogue?
When Mohammed bin Salman and his father came to power in 2015, there was a cash reserve of about $730 billion. Today's cash flow is about $400 billion. These official Saudi figures may be less than that, in fact. I mean, Mohammed bin Salman actually burned about $350 billion in this war, according to the numbers before us. The actual numbers may be more than that. Mohammed bin Salman insists on continuing with the policy of buying, using, and employing weapons in Yemen because he wants to prolong the life of this war, waiting for America to change its opinion on the issue of direct intervention, to bring its own military or its air force to get involved in Yemen in order to save Saudi Arabia. Unfortunately, he is still counting on this matter. The statements of the lobbying groups that Saudi Arabia employs in Washington indicates the same conclusion. Mohammed bin Salman tried to count on Washington adjusting its strategy on Yemen to help him by recruiting its military directly in order to win this war for him. Therefore, he insists on the policy of buying weapons in addition to another issue, which he considers as a means of rapprochement with the West by continuing to buy these arms. As for the returns on this money that Saudi Arabia spent on its war in Yemen, it was possible to achieve not one vision, such as 2030 vision, but perhaps five visions like it, in the sense that this money was enough for Saudi citizens to live a life of luxury for generations to come. But Mohammed bin Salman chose to use this money in the war, thinking that he could achieve a military victory and be crowned as the militarily victorious king who wants to rule the region based on his Yemeni victory, according to his illusions.
Well, it seems that 2022 will be a very, very decisive year for Mohammed bin Salman and all his ruling party in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. I want to thank you very much, Ms. Ali Murad, political commentator, for joining us to talk about this matter on the Middle East Stream. Now, thank you, and please stay tuned next week for the Middle East Stream. See you.
In the limelight.
The combined wealth of the 745 U.S. billionaires surpassed $5 trillion in 2021, up 70% since the beginning of the pandemic, according to Institute for Policy Studies and Americans for Tax Fairness Analysis of Forbes data. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written jointly by Sarah Anderson and Brian Wakamo Writers. This article is published under the heading 2021 saw gaps in U.S. racial and economic inequality widen. Stay tuned for more. The combined wealth of the 745 U.S. billionaires surpassed $5 trillion in 2021, up 70% since the beginning of the pandemic, according to Institute for Policy Studies and Americans for Tax Fairness Analysis of Forbes data. U.S. corporate after-tax profits hit a record high of $2.5 trillion in the third quarter of 2021, further enriching wealthy executives and shareholders. One factor behind the profit spike, giant corporations have used the excuse of pandemic-related supply chain bottlenecks to jack up prices for gasoline, food, and other essentials. Workers, particularly those at the bottom end of the wage scale, have gotten some long overdue pay increases. But these were not the result of any employer largesse. Instead, workers have gone on strike and taken other actions to leverage their power at a time of pandemic staffing challenges. Unfortunately, rising consumer prices are taking a bite out of those wage giants. The U.S. economy had strong job growth in 2021. The January to November period saw the creation of nearly 6 million new jobs and a decline in the unemployment rate from 6.3% to 4.2%. But these improvements conceal persistent racial inequalities. As of October 2021, the unemployment rate was 7.9% among black workers and 4% among whites, a wider gap than at the beginning of the pandemic, according to BLS data. The decline in unemployment rate also masks the exodus of millions of people from labor force since the beginning of the pandemic. As of November 2021, there were 3.5 million fewer people in the U.S. labor force than before the pandemic. The drop has been most dramatic among black women, a sign of how racial barriers compound pandemic-related health concerns and the shortage of affordable child care services. Job and wage growth would have been stronger if corporations hadn't blown record sums on stock buybacks. Corporations went on a stock buyback spree in 2021, spending a record $234 billion on share repurchases in the third quarter of the year. As analysts have long documented, stock buybacks artificially inflate executive stock-based pay and siphon off capital that could be used to raise worker wages or make other productive investments. So much for a swift end to the pandemic. On top of the anti-vaxxer problem, Americans have got more than a billion people in developing countries still without access to vaccines because of big pharma greed. Profiteering executives, including the five newly minted billionaires at Moderna, have blocked patent waivers that would have boosted vaccine production around the world. In late November, the number of vaccine doses administered per 100 people was more than 18 times higher in high-income than low-income countries. The cost of this greed-driven global vaccine gap became painfully clear when the Omicron variant discovered in South Africa quickly spread across borders. A Vaccine Data for Progress poll conducted October 8 to 12 found that 71% of voters support increasing taxes on the wealthiest 2% of Americans to pay for the Build Back Better Act. This landmark bill, which passed the House in November and appears close to becoming law, is expected to raise nearly $2 trillion from the wealthy and big corporations to invest in human and environmental needs. The Tax Policy Center predicts the top 0.1% will see their after-tax income drop by 5.9%, while the poorest 20% will see their income rise by 4.4% in the last first year. The bill will also raise significant new revenue from corporations, including through a tax on stock buybacks. One noteworthy Build Back Better tax on the wealthy is a surtax on annual incomes above $10 million. Ultra-rich households will face an additional 5 percentage point tax on annual gross income, including investment earnings over $10 million, and an 8 percentage point surtax on income over $25 million. The first dollar of income over that $25 million, in other words, will face a 45% tax instead of the usual 37% top marginal income tax rate.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir la'in ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at anger through the supplication of Imam Sajjad Salamullah Alayhi, supplication number 8, verse number 1. And it is the second vice the Imam seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In previous episodes, we spoke so much about the causes of anger, effects of anger, what is good anger, what is bad anger. Now we want to end with how do we fix anger itself. Where do we begin? Now, there are many things that the teachers of akhlaq, the teachers of morality, and those who deal with ethics, they give us many prescriptions for us to have in order for us to treat anger as a disease or as a mental disease or as a vice to begin with. Among the things that we need to keep in mind, one of the treatments to anger is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dhikrullah. When a person is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is further and far away from shaitan. That's just a natural thing. So the more a person seeks nearness to Allah, seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan, the closer he is to Allah, which means the less, or he won't get angry at anymore, because he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his system. Shaitan is himself, what he does, he comes to the mind of a person and puts thoughts and ideas in his head that tries to ignite anger to begin with. Let's leave it with that thought and we will continue right after the break.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So we said that shaitan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse him, he comes to the mind of a person, whispers, and he tries to ignite his imagination in illusions and put illusions in his mind that leads a person to commit sins, amongst of which anger. But the more this imagination, the more this mind is in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the harder it is for shaitan to get in. The shaitan will only find it easy to get into my head and your head when he finds out that it is empty, Allah does not exist in it. Therefore, when we look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even he himself says, when shaitan comes to you and he tries to, tempt you, فَاسْتَعَذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Seek refuge in Allah, because for he is the most hearing, the most knowledgeable. He knows what kind of condition you're in. So go back to him. When you feel that you're getting angry, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah continues in the same verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا, for those who try to protect themselves, for those who have piety, إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, when shaitan comes to them and tries to overtake them, تَذَكَّرُوا, they remembered, فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, then they would open their eyes. So imagine this, and instead of anger, when shaitan comes and tries to take over a person's system, and when he's in that state, and all of a sudden that person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wakes up. He's like, Astaghfirullah, let me hold myself. It's not worth it. And he just stops and pauses, and then he goes back to his natural ways. But if he does not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan will continue that ride until the person is in a full anger mode. So we have to be very careful in this regard. So a person needs to be constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to defeat shaitan, to defeat these whispers, to defeat these imaginations that shaitan tries to put in our heads. Otherwise, we will lose the battle before it starts. So a mu'min needs to have Allah in his mind constantly, or at least as much as he can. Let us take a break and then we continue right after.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We said one of the best methods to cure anger is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that shaitan comes in the absence of Allah in the mind of a person. Therefore, we need to constantly try to cleanse ourselves from shaitan and all the things that he leaves behind, from thoughts and whispers. That's why, for example, Allah in the Quran says, or the ahadith, they say, when this comes to you and you feel that you're in a stage of anger, say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, I seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. You get angry, well, for whatever reason it is, pause and seek isti'adha, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by just saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. One. Two, in other narrations says that when you get angry, also say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. There is no power that anyone can seek but the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Almighty. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Two words, three words. You say them and that should calm you down. Not just to say them out of frustration. No, you say them as a way to calm yourself down. In other narrations says, أن يضع خده على الأرض, that when you get angry, go down, put your cheeks on the floor. أو يسجد لله تعالى, or prostrate to Allah. Go on the set of sajda. That should suck all the anger out of your system. And other riwayat also says, for example, if you're angry, go do wudu, which also reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are sitting, stand. If you are standing, sit. If you're laying down, get up. And just change the position that you are in. Trying to constantly keep yourself aware of your surroundings. Because once you get angry and you lose control of it, that one becomes very devastating. It becomes very hard to control. So remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the way to go when it comes to anger. And that's something that we need to keep in mind. A mu'min, a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly in his mind, which inshallah, he is constantly in yours as well. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را, هرگز مخواه از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را, یا سر
food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and greetings to our Christian listeners on the eve of Christmas, which the West regards as birthday of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, whom Islam considers as one of the five greatest messengers of God. Here we present you a prophecy about the advent of the last prophet by the virgin-born Messiah, as mentioned in the Gospel of St. Barnabas. Know, O Barnabas, that for this I must have great persecution, and shall be sold by one of my disciples, that is Judas Iscariot, for 30 pieces of money. Whereupon I'm sure that he who shall sell me shall be slain in my name, for that God shall take me up from the earth and shall change the appearance of the traitor, so that everyone shall believe him to be me. Nevertheless, when he dies an evil death, I shall abide in that dishonor for a long time in the world. But when Muhammad shall come, the holy messenger of God, that infamy shall be taken away. And this shall God do because I have confessed the truth of the Messiah, who shall give me this reward, that I shall be known to be alive, to be a stranger to that death of infamy.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg. An embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, It is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals, and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most, but a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005. A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and a second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Beachgoers in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro have been surprised by very rare visitors, a family of orcas. The family of three was seen swimming in shallow waters of a crowded beach south of the city. The group didn't seem to care at all about the presence of people on their paddleboards. Footage of the orcas quickly spread on social media because they don't usually come that close to the coast. A local biologist says the whales were likely to drawn. They were likely drawn to the area by a cold current from further south.
What we see in the video is a family group that has a male and a female who have a calf. It is common that the orcas come from a colder current where there is also a shoal, and they reach the south, the north in fact, and end up hitting our coast. Then they rest in warmer waters such as Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and Barra da Tijuca.
The biologist says the mammals pose no risk to humans despite the label killer whales. He says there is no record of their attacks on humans. Researchers suspect that the migration patterns of whales could be influenced by climate change and the resulting changes in water temperatures. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. We looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiter is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders. Butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Orsay is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
A morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still, unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Arce's butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here, people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the first of its kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
A
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up a Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's why the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th. Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease. The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives, and that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover the turtle nests from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles release into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters,
Salam to all of you. So welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about hypocrisy in Islam. So join us.
Without your warmth, without your smile, without you by my side, the world was so cold, I felt so lost. Without your light, I felt so blind.
Today, Friday, is the 19th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of Day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of December, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is the second chapter of the Holy Quran, chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 8.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين.
And of the people are some who say, we believe in Allah and the last day, but they are not believers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The verses state a short but very expressive explanation on hypocrites and their spiritual specialties and characteristics illustrated by their actions. Attention should be attracted to the face that, in a special period of its sensitive historical course, Islam was faced with a specific group among the whole of the people who neither had the courage to truly accept the invitation of Islam nor had the power and boldness to openly oppose it.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need by my side. I wish to be close, close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Hypocrisy in Islam. Hypocrisy is a kind of disease that spiritually corrupts a person's heart. A person who's displaying his religious self to the people, whereas concealing greater kufr inside, is punished by Allah on the Day of Judgment. He has declared hellfire as the eternal abode of such people displaying false affection towards the people of Iman and Islam. Hypocrites might get away in this world with kufr in their heart, but on the Day of Judgment, they'll be thrown away to the hellfire to sow what they reaped all their lives. The munafiquns, or hypocrites, will be at the lowest depths of the hell due to the kufr or hypocrisy they had concealed inside while showing complete support towards the right deen, Islam. Allah is the knower of all things, and they won't be able to get away with the punishment that Allah has decided for them, and there be questioned about their hypocrisy and face the consequences of their extreme hypocrisy. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the problem of hypocrisy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa idha qila lahum ta'alu ila ma anzalallahu wa ila ar-Rasul ra'aita al-munafiqina yasudduna 'anka sududa. When it's said to them, come to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, and come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, You find that, you see that, you consider that. The hypocrites try not to admit your invitation, okay? Not only do they don't believe in the Islamic religion, but they wouldn't make any attempt, I mean, any effort in order to come closer to you. So we find that, I mean, the hypocrites are such people who not only don't believe in the right cause, they don't make any effort in order to get closer to the believers' community. Another Quranic verse in this regard is in this way. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Certainly the hypocrites try to play trick on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They try to play trick. They try to cheat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better how to cheat them. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When they are invited to perform salat, they are not that much inspired. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They do something, but not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want just to pretend to other Muslims, to other people, that they are believers. Quite explicit with the Holy Quran in the Surah At-Tawbah, verse 67, indicated it in this way. الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ مِنْ بَعْضِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمُنْكَرِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ. The hypocrites, I mean, male and female hypocrites, some of them teach others. And this is the characteristic. They invite people to do vices, and they prevent people from doing good. We hope to be away from being hypocrites. Thank you.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, Hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio. Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah.
Yeah, Allah, yeah, Allah. The continuation of today's special by looking at the effects of nifaq or hypocrisy. Being subdued and humble in front of the people, idolizing people and considering them more powerful, influential, and wealthier than Allah. This is against one's claim that Allah is Almighty and of only worshipping Allah. If one's outward state truly mirrored his inward reality, he wouldn't be afraid of people or influenced by their wealth or power and fear no deity except Allah. Second effect is being humble, fearful, and subdued in front of all external phenomena, yet neglectful towards the really powerful Allah, the first cause. Yet, with this state of mind, asserting faith in the unity of Allah. In this state, such a person is a foreigner to the community of believers and belongs to the group of hypocrites and the double tongue, and will be resurrected with them. Thank you for being to today's special. Now we'll look at how to cure hypocrisy in Islam. Understanding the meaning of the Quran. Reading and reciting the Quran is not enough. You should understand the meaning too. If you happen to not speaking Arabic, Quran has been translated to all languages in the world. You will find the purpose of human creation in the Quran and will no longer become a hypocrite. The second clue is committing good deeds. Commit as many good deeds as possible after repenting and asking for Allah's forgiveness, as good deeds will help to erase the bad one. Mm-hmm.
When we come to the Quran, we see that the Quran defines hypocrisy as concealing disbelief while showing belief. Concealing disbelief while pretending to be Muslim, while pretending to be a believer. The Quran says, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. The Quran tells us of the hypocrites that come to Rasulullah and they testify that he's the messenger of Allah. They say with their words that he's the messenger, but in their hearts, they have disbelief. This is a hypocrite. There are some that accuse the Shia, followers of Ahlul Bayt, of hypocrisy. They say, you Shia, you followers of Ahlul Bayt, you practice taqiyya. And taqiyya is a form of hypocrisy. You believe in one thing, but you practice another to save your lives. Isn't this hypocrisy? No, it is not hypocrisy. Because according to the Quranic definition of hypocrisy, hypocrisy is to conceal disbelief while showing belief. Taqiyya is exactly the opposite. It is concealing belief, but showing disbelief. And it's completely the opposite. Taqiyya is not hypocrisy. If taqiyya is hypocrisy, why does the Quran encourage taqiyya? The Quran acknowledges Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar ibn Yasir was forced to denounce Islam and to believe in the idols of Quraysh when he saw his mother, Sumayya, the first martyr in Islam, and his father, Yasir, killed in front of his eyes. He denounced the Shahadatain and he accepted the idols of Quraysh by his tongue only. But his heart was full of faith. He came to Rasulullah crying and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I said the words of kufr. Rasulullah told him, Ya Ammar, tell me about your heart. Don't tell me about your tongue. Is your heart, does it have disbelief or belief? He says, Ya Rasulullah, my heart is full of belief. Then he says, Ya Ammar, you're safe. In fact, if they come back to you again, repeat exactly what you did. And the following verse was revealed. Illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun. بالإيمان. The Quran tells us about Mu'min al Quraysh, the believer from the family of the Pharaoh, who concealed belief but he showed disbelief. وجاء رجل من أقصى المدينة يكتم إيمانه. He came to Musa. The Quran tells us of a man who concealed his belief yet showed disbelief. وجاء رجل من أقصى المدينة يكتم إيمانه. The verse calls him a believer. He conceals his faith. Thus, taqiyya is not. Taqiyya is not disbelief. Taqiyya is not hypocrisy.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic, hypocrisy in Islam, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till another visiting, thank you very much, and we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for. They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.